Lord, we bow our heads in your presence this morning with humility and gratefulness that we can gather here together to hear your word and to sing your praise. Lord, would you please come now and be our teacher, our guide? Help us to follow you and give the very best of ourselves to serve you in this world, to shine the light of Christ into the darkness. All to the glory of your name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, good morning again. Let me begin with a quote. Against a background of emperors and taxes, Jesus is born. I love that summary of Luke 2. It is so accurate and so amazing because what looks like an ordinary and dull series of world events turns into the moment when God's grace touches down on this earth and becomes physical and real in a way that it wasn't before. King Jesus was born. Not born in a royal palace, not born to a wealthy family into a place of privilege, born in a very humble way. On its own, the circumstances of his birth tell us that something extraordinary has happened. It says God has reached deeply into human life. And not just into human life, but into your life. God has reached deeply in. His royal son, the king, has taken on full humanity and willingly gave up his privilege to come and serve and save us. Let's take a few minutes to see how Luke tells the story. First, Luke, the careful historian, talks about events in world history. World events in history, the things you read in a history book. Now, would you ever imagine that God would reveal his son in such an ordinary way? Let me read Luke 2 and verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. A census, a royal decree. That's about as boring and dull as you can imagine. But let's be honest. God sent his son not in a wildly dramatic way, which we would think he'd do, right? With thunderclouds and lightning. A government census to make sure that enough taxes are being collected. Let's just pause here and ask a question. Has anything good and amazing ever come out of a government census? Anybody feel privileged to pay more taxes? No, I didn't think so. Here we see the amazing reality that God works in the very ordinary events of daily life. As daily events unfold 2,000 years ago and today, God is at work behind the scenes. He is in it. We can't see everything he's doing, but the Christmas story tells us that he's at work. He's unfolding his plans in a way that's going to bring his plan to full revelation. He's going to do what he wants to do. He works within real events, which means he works in real human lives, like the people 2,000 years ago and the people ever since and people today. You can see this here in Luke chapter 2. The Lord used the events. He used the Roman emperor and a census to make sure that his son was born exactly where he needed to be born, in the royal town of Bethlehem. And this is such an important thing to notice because, again, it just tells us again, because sometimes we're not sure God is in our lives. We're not sure God is really here in the daily grind we call life with all its highs and lows. But the Christmas story says, no, the Lord Jesus is rooted in real human history, your human history. And not just 2,000 years ago, but born now into a real world, a broken world, a lonely world, a world where we mix the joy and the suffering. Born in the most humble way, right in the thick of it. Let's just take a moment to think about that. That is incredible, so beautiful. The Son of God was born not into a privileged world of money and influence, but born to a working class family in a small town for the whole human race. And this really speaks volumes about God himself. This is God's character and God's plan on full display here. What does that tell you about God's plan for you? Doesn't that say that the Lord sent his son into the world you live in? Not the world of perfect saints, whoever that is. The really good people No, born into this world, your world, into your events of your life. He came to redeem your past and give you a new life now and into the future forever. That's the first part of the good news here, the events of Jesus' birth, as ordinary as they look like. Well, second, we move to Luke's other purpose, which is the deeper purpose, probably. It's the meaning of the events. What do these events mean? From the beginning of Luke 2, verse 1 up to verse 10, we have Luke, the very careful historian, laying out the events, telling a story, moving to a purpose. His purpose, again, was to root the story of Jesus in the real history of the world. Real recorded history. Not fantasy, not fan fiction, not fake news, but recorded history. Then in verse 10, we have a change. The gospel breaks in, the good news. We get to the meaning of the events. Because it's not enough to just know what happened. That's important. That's the beginning. But life change only happens when you know the meaning of the events. Why was Jesus born? Into this world, the world I live in. First, if you notice in verse 10, the angel says that this news will cause great joy for all the people. He means specifically the people of Israel, because this started as a Jewish story about a Jewish baby boy. But the angel is pointing beyond Israel to the rest of the world. The angel's speaking prophetically about things that are going to come. We can see this in reverse, can't we? We know the story. So we look at it from a very privileged vantage point. We can see that the great joy is really meant for us today. It's touched us, I think, not because it's simply a nice story about the birth of a baby. That's often how Christmas is portrayed. A very perfect, almost like a Hallmark version of Christmas. Or a Facebook version of Christmas. Hands up here, have you ever seen friends posting Christmas pictures of the big family fight that breaks out around the dinner table? Anybody ever posted that? Hey guys, look at us. No, it's always perfect. It's manicured. It's absolutely brilliant. But here we have a real story. Not really a warm and cuddly story. There's a beautiful baby, but born in maybe a cave or a shed, a place where animals live, placed in a feed box, clean feed box, but still. Think about how we portray our babies. Our baby pictures are scripted, perfectly tuned. The baby wears an outfit that you never see again. There's no dirt, there's no mess, because we want perfection. We would never choose this. You see, we would never choose this. This is what God chose. And in verse 11, the Jewish people hear that their long-awaited king has finally come. And this is after 400 years of silence from God. Nothing from the prophets. Absolute deafening silence. This is such amazing news. And again, this news told the people of Israel that God in his grace sent his son to his people. Why? Because they were his people. He chose them. He promised to do this. We heard that in the readings from Isaiah. That is how God chose to send his son. This is simply astounding, really, isn't it? Imagine King Jesus, the Son of God, the royal son, the Lord the Savior, sent to be raised by normal people in a normal family, away from the levers of power and influence, away from what looks like royalty. In the letter to the Hebrews, Jesus is described this way. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. And those words are given to encourage all of us to approach God with confidence, knowing that God understands our weakness and our temptation because he carried the same burden. The difference, of course, is that he carried it without sin. And because of his righteousness and purity, by faith in him, that righteousness and purity is credited to us. Luke moves on here We're going on through the story. We start with the events, now the meaning of the events, and it starts getting clearer in verse 11. The angel refers to the baby as the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. Those three words really move us from historical knowledge to what we can call saving knowledge. Here we have the gospel. We can't see the cross, we can't see the resurrection, yet we have the seed of the gospel planted through the events, the ordinary events of human history. The angel said that the one born in a very humble way is the one who saves. Saves from what? Left on our own without this good news, we would imagine that maybe God would want to save us from suffering. Maybe we'd want to be saved from war, famine, and disease, from a pandemic. This saving here, the angel is getting at something even more important than those things. All those things are very important. They obviously impact our lives in many ways, but the angel is talking about something deeper. This is really why the Son came. For the full meaning behind these events, the full significance, we have to go to the end of that passage, to verse 14, where the angels in heaven can't contain themselves any longer. They're hearing all this, they're seeing this, and they finally, in this frenzied joy, they burst out in praise. They say, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." First we have glory. Glory to God, because Jesus, the royal Son, has left his place at his Father's side, come to earth to hide his glory for a time. God is glorified because of his Son being on earth, healing, teaching, feeding in a miraculous way. We say glory to God because the Messiah has come to earth, the greatest gift we could ever get. The second half of verse 14, this is where we really get the personal meaning behind the events. Here's where our own need is touched, and it comes out into the open. The angels are giving a proclamation. They're the heralds blowing the trumpet, waving the banner, shouting, and saying there's peace on earth. Peace on earth. Wait a minute. That's not what our world looks like. Our world's never looked like that. By all accounts, the 20th century was the bloodiest century in human history. We certainly don't have peace today. So there must be more to this than just peace between people and nations. The angels are touching on something profound. This is the universal need we have that they're talking about. They're praising God because the peace that came to the earth when Jesus was born is the peace that God offers through his Son. This is the gift of peace with God. This is the deep down peace that fixes the broken relationship humanity's had with God from the very beginning. Out of this broken relationship, that's where all the suffering in the world comes from. All the brokenness, all the pain, it comes from that. And that's what continues today. The word isn't mentioned, but the word sin really is the unmentionable word. That word causes many to turn away today. It sounds like an old-fashioned word, a word that belongs to an earlier, less sophisticated time, a less enlightened time. Maybe it's a word that is supposed to be shouted by an angry preacher from a pulpit like this. I don't know. But it's an important biblical word because it touches on the need. If you have the ears to hear, the eyes to see, and if you have a desire to get at the real truth and your real need, then this is why Jesus came. This is the disease Jesus came to heal. His mission wasn't to feed the poor or heal the sick, although he did that in abundance. He did that everywhere he went. His mission was to go willingly to the cross, to die there and be the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is why the angels are bursting forth in praise. This is the peace that passes all understanding, and this is the peace each one of us desperately needs. This Advent, And as we get into Christmas, we remember the one who was born. Born in real circumstances, in real human history. Remember, these events aren't just interesting historical events. Remember that these events are signs. They're signs that point to God's plan to save his people, to bring reconciliation, to deal with the pain and the hurt and the sin. This is the good news we celebrate at Christmas. If Christmas for you has become about stress and no joy, as I talked to someone at a store the other day and I said, "How's it going?" And she said, "This year I'm tempted to throw all those decorations out and move to a cabin somewhere in the wilderness." If Christmas is like that, join this story. Join these events. See the significance behind the events. This is about hope. This is about healing. This is about truth. My hope and prayer is that this gospel, this story, will bring you the peace you need and the peace you've been searching for. With all of us here at Church of Our Lord, let's join together this morning in our hearts and our minds as we listen to God's word, as we sing. Let's join those shepherds. Let's go to Bethlehem and see. Amen.